COVID test cricket. Tours of countries. To all your great cricketers out there, welcome to another episode of the Sunday Cricket. Now you're probably wondering why I had to bring up COVID in the first sentence of this, and that's because the first topic that we're going to be discussing in today's podcast episode, and that is New Zealand cricket and Cricket Australia have agreed to abandon the Black Caps' upcoming T20 mini-series scheduled to be played in Napier next month. And that exactly is because Australia can't be fucked to, beat MIQ and get stuck in there. So they're going to play, it was like three T20 matches, I think it was 4 days long, it was 17th to 18th and the 20th, right before New Zealand played in the Netherlands. But they have decided to scrap that plan because New Zealand doesn't want to give MIQ accommodation to the Australian cricketers, which I think is absolutely fucked and absolutely fucking annoying, and I don't like it at all because I wanted us to play fucking Australia, and I think that New Zealand should finally just chuck out MIQ out the fucking window, sort their shit, get this shit together, and allow fucking Australia to come over to New Zealand and fucking play us. Because we couldn't end up going over there. I can't remember exactly why there was reasons, so we had to cancel there. But why the fuck could they not come over here? You pieces of shit, you government. Get your shit fucking together and allow the fucking Australians to come over to fucking New Zealand. Now I am disa-fucking pointed in you fuckers for that not to be the case. Now, that is, you can't do anything about it, unfortunately, because they just wouldn't give any space to them, so they've had to abandon the fucking series. As a consequence of this, and given the cancellations would have left the Hawke's Bay region with suddenly reduced international program, the Black Caps Netherlands, the Black Caps have decided to move one of the Netherlands T20 matches, which was going to be the 25th, previously was going to be supposed to be the Bale Oval, is now going to be played in Napier instead to allow matches still to be, in the Hawke's Bay region. Well, really Napier region, so they're, being nice there, allowing them to play there because the Trans-Tasman game is not going to be there across the way against them. But yeah, fucking COVID, Omicron, fucking all New Zealand Black Caps fans fucking schedules who want to watch Australia versus New Zealand and now have to settle for the Netherlands versus New Zealand. It's a downgrade, bit of one, but who cares about a fucking downgrade, eh? Who just wants to watch some fucking cricket? I know I'm a little bit annoyed about a downgrade, but good entertainment just to watch any cricketers, and thankfully Netherlands are still coming over. I don't know how they fucking got MIQ spots, but somehow they did, and so did South Africa, because they're now stuck in Christchurch with both the tests, and they're like, what the fuck is wrong with this place? We have to stay in here for 10 days? What the hell no? What the hell the fuck no? But yeah, they're stuck in there for 10 days, and Netherlands are locked and loaded. They're ready for the next month's series against New Zealand, which is a surprise. I wouldn't be if I was in Netherlands. I'd be shitting my pants going, we're going to lose this. Van Beek's already over here going, I get to play international cricket against the New Zealanders? Oh, I play in domestic cricket all the time? Yeah, let's go. Fucking bad fucking accent of that, though. It's fucking annoying that that's the case. But we can't do anything about it. You've got to live with the situation that is come in, and that is the situation that's going to happen. That's fucking unfortunate. Now, I know it's a bit late on this, but I know it's going to be late out when it comes out, but we're going to have a little bit of a diving into now of the New Zealand and South African selections for the for South Africa versus New Zealand's test matches. Now, I'm going to start with New Zealand because they have given Fletcher and Tickner their first ever call-ups for the test team, which is fine. I've got problems with it, but And then they recalled de Gromholm and Rutherford because Williamson, unfortunately, is still ruled out with his, I think it's elbow injury. He's got an elbow injury, so he's still ruled out of the playing test at all, so he can't play, which is a bit sad because our, best test batsman is all good. Conway's the best, but everyone disagrees with me. Conway's the best. Kane Williamson is our best, like I was saying before, and he has the best average for New Zealand, so it's a bit sad to see him, but Hamish Rutherford, who hasn't played a test since, I think it was about 2015. He was in the squad from 2013 to 2015. Averaged around about 25. Was probably one of the worst test opens I've ever seen since, well, before Jet Revelle came in to replace him, who I think is just as bad. And don't know how he lasted as long as he did in the fucking test squad. They were both shocking. But, you know, he's had good form in the Plunkett Shield. And you can't do much when he's got good form. He's scoring 371 runs. And he's, you know, getting runs under the belt. And he's being consistent. And he isn't really, like, it's not padded by, like, a 200. He's got 144. But he's been decently consistent. So, of course, you're going to give to Hamish Rutherford an opportunity who is an opener when Will Young is our opener. And he's a little bit struggling. I think he's trying to find his feet as an opener for New Zealand, and he's finding it a bit hard, but, you know, he's doing well as he can do as a New Zealand opener, or New Zealand batsman who hasn't actually played much New Zealand cricket, but, you know, he's getting the opportunities, and it's good to see that he's getting the opportunities on Will Young is. But the test squad that was named, besides those four, was, it was Tom Latham. Tom Latham got chosen. Of course he did. Tom Latham, Tom Blundell, who's playing wicketkeeper, Devin Conway, Con de Gromholm, Cam Fletcher, Matt Henry, Carl Jameson, Darryl Mitchell, Henry Nicholls, Ratcha Ravandra, Hamish Rutherford, Tim Salvey, Blair Ticknell, Neil Young, Neil Wagner, not the fucking singer, you bloody dumbass, Will Young, who's next, and that's why I got it mixed up, Bolt, and Ajaz Patel. Those are the Ajaz Patel and fucking Bolt are on the back burner, because Bolt's having his first child, so he's possibly not going to be playing, as he's having his first child, so he's, like, you know, 50-50 if he's going to be sitting out or not. I think he's sitting out and missing the first test at the Hagley Oval, which are both going to be at the Hagley Oval, but he's missing the first test because, you know, first newborn, and I think he, probably, if I was him, I'd just take both of them off. Ajaz is there, but Ajaz is nursing it, so we don't know how his availability will be for the second upcoming test, so we'll have to, you know, see how he's available will be for the second test, we'll see. He's got to provide his fitness to the Black Caps team, the Black Caps fucking coaches and stuff. But I'm gonna do a bit of a dive into the squad we have selected, and I'm gonna put, you know, I don't have the hat with me, unfortunately. I had like a hat I was going to put on or something like that to play a bit of committee. I'm going to put my committee hat on, you know, not on the gear for it, but I'm going to put the committee hat on, and we're going to play the New Zealand selection committee for a bit, because I have a fucking nit to pick with some of the fucking selections that we have chosen. Now, Tom Latham, absolutely fine. Best New Zealand opener I've seen in a long time, probably best New Zealand opener forever. Tom Blundell, have been a couple of problems with because he hasn't been performing. Now, I will say this, and everyone will probably largely agree with me, since his 100 in Australia, where he opened, he hasn't picked up the same, like, skill set. He's not been batting the same, he's looked a bit off it, but it's good that, I think, he stuck his hand up saying, you know what, I'm not an opener, drop me down the order, give me the gloves, I'll replace BJ when he retires. He's up there in age, like, 30 or so he's not got much longer, but he's still good, so I don't mind that selection. Devin Conway, of course, who I reckon is probably going to be one of New Zealand's best batsmen ever, if he, you know, can stay in the squad and keeps performing the way he's performing. Con de Gromholm, good to see him back. I don't mind him coming back. I think he's been a very fantastic test bowler and batsman for New Zealand when it comes to everything. Like, when it comes to tests and shit, I think he's been very, very good. But, you know, he's been out for a while. He hasn't been performing as much. He's played for a long time, I think, for New Zealand, you know. But he's good. He's, was he born in South Africa? So, of course, when you're playing South Africa, you need to bring... Oh, no, he's in Zimbabwean. Close. I was wrong, though. But, you know, you gotta give it to him. He's a very, very good all-rounder. He's averaged throughout his career since playing test. He came into the squad 2016. He's now 35 years old, so he's got, like, maybe a year left in him. He's been averaging 35.5 in the 26 matches he's played. And he's averaged 33.1 off the ball, which is good. Good for an all-rounder. He's taken, I think, 47 test wickets. He bowled quite right when he's bowling, so I don't mind him coming back into the squad. So there's nothing did wrong. I wouldn't really pick any other all-rounder. The only other one I would probably go with instead of de Gromholm, if I had to pick would have to be Jimmy Neesham, or James Neesham as his actual name is. But we all know him as Jimmy. He only played, I think, 2014 to 2017. Averaged 33.8, so he's fucking, you know, was averaging well. And I remember his best game was the 100 that he played when Brendan McCullum got his 300. But he wasn't averaging and bowling that well. So he was only getting like 48.2. Average for bowling was 48.2. And you can't really do much about that. So unfortunately, he's missed out for the likes of Condorom and stuff, and I don't think he was going to come anyway. Cam Fletcher, I don't mind. I thought my thoughts were going to be like bringing in Dan Cleaver. If you don't know, he's a New Zealand cricketer who plays for the Central Stags in New Zealand in the New Zealand competition. He's a fucking good batsman. He's looking nice. He's averaging, I think he scored 375 runs so far in the Plunkett Shield. He averages 62.5. I think they looked at Cam Fletcher because he's scored 344, but he's averaging 86. He's played strong. He's a good player, and he's, you know, strong hand there, and he's good with the gloves as well. I think he's very good with the gloves, so I think that's probably why they've taken him over. Because from what I can see, he's got the most stumpings, the most wicketkeeper catches. So you've got to, you know, take him as it is when he's leading in that circumstances, and he's an all-round, you know, he's a wicketkeeper batsman, and you can't expect more than a wicketkeeper batsman with 19 catches and an average of 82.5 in this year's Plunkett Shield, like the New Zealand competition. If you're Australian, you'll know it probably, like the fucking, you know, basically the Shield, same equivalent. It's just a four-day long game, which I'm looking at to compare if they should be playing for New Zealand test team. But yeah, I think Cam Fletcher is playing very well. He looks like a good keeper. He's up there in age though at 28, so I wouldn't really look at him as a replacement or a backup for Blundell, who's only like three or four years older, or maybe less. I'd more look at like Wiggins, who doesn't really keep for Central Stags, because Dan Cleaver normally does. Dan Cleaver is also one of the other options, so I'd have probably gone over Cam Fletcher. But Wiggins is good. I don't really think he uses the gloves often, unless Dan Cleaver's not playing, but he's a very good top order bat who could probably drop down the order. He's young at like 23, 24, so he's a good option to look in for New Zealand for the future. I think it's should be to look at, but this is when we get to the first controversy. It's Matt Henry. Now, I know we don't exactly have any other bowlers to choose from. Now, Matt Henry was leading wicket taker in New Zealand's Plunkett Shield, four-day game. He is the leading wicket taker of 21 wickets. He has, I think, the best average. I could be wrong. I don't know what his average. He's averaging 17.7. He's got a very, very strong average. Taking plenty of wickets. He's up there. And I see him in like New Zealand. I'm like, okay. He looks very strong a lot of the time when he's playing in the Plunkett Shield. And I'm like, well, I don't know how he would do though as a New Zealander. Playing for New Zealand, I'm like, oh, I don't know how he does against national size. Because he's averaging, like, 45 or 43 or something like that. And I was just like, oh, he's not the best test bowler. Never has, but he's a fucking fantastic ODI bowler. And I've always rated him as a fucking top-notch ODI bowler. I love him as an ODI bowler. But I've never really looked at him going, yes, I want him. I fucking want him for test match. But never really for his bowling for test matches, bowling and the way he bowls, just, I think, like, getting that good line and length and getting it into the person. Doesn't swing the ball much. It's not the, you know, he doesn't fucking, you know, swing it left and right like fucking Salvi or Bowl, but he gets nice line and length, gets it into the body. I didn't think he was probably the best selection, but I think it's probably good. He is already in contention, so bringing him back in is fine. Now, you've got Kyle James and Daryl Mitchell. No problems there. Now, I have a massive bone to pick with Nichols because, now, yeah, Nichols gets some best scores. He does. He has one of the best averages in New Zealand side as well for the bat. But there's one gleaming problem. Every time he scores, he gets dropped like three or fucking four times. If I go back to the West Indies game where I think he got like 150, he got dropped. The next innings, he got dropped again. He keeps getting fucking dropped in his like first like 20 runs. So if the teams could fucking catch he played against, he would be dropped from this fucking side. That's my only issue I have with Henry Nichols, is the fact he keeps fucking edging it to slip or hitting it at players early on, costing his wicket. And when they can catch, he fucking goes. And when he don't catch, he scores runs. And it's like, how is this guy still a New Zealand cricketer? How the fuck is he still playing New Zealand cricket? Like, I just have to massively question how this fucker still plays New Zealand cricket. Like, he's a fucking useless cunt. I've seen him bat. He plays some nice shots. He can play a nice front foot drive. He can play a nice, like, gets on the, over the ball. He's a pull shot. But he's really good on the front foot. Decent on the back foot, but he's really good at just punching it through, driving it well, playing late on the ball. He gets his eyes like over their ball. He plays fucking nice, but he's a fucking idiot when it comes to test matches. I was like, as an ODI player, I like him. As a test match player, I question the fucking selection so much. So fucking much. Because he's a good player. He's a good fucking bat. He's got a good average. He can bat well, bat long. But it just... If you need those nitty runs, you need someone that's going to stick in there, grind it. He's not your man. He's going to collapse, he's going to fall early, and he's not going to get runs. But if you make it easy for him, you give him partners to bat with, you give him someone that's going to score runs, he will get runs for you. There's no way about it. He'll turn a fucking pitiful performance into a masterclass like a fucking drop of a hat, mate. It's like, honestly, you get your hat, you drop it, Nichols makes a masterclass innings. You fucking don't drop it, and Nichols gets out for three. Fuck, it's like fucking rolling a six-sided dice and going, I want a six. It's like a six-sided dice, but it's only a six or a one. He either hits or misses and doesn't get in the middle. Yeah, literally. Hits or miss, so doesn't get in the middle, so he's like a fucking dog's dinner. Or, like, you know? Or, you know, you gotta choose. Your dog's dinner or your dinner? What's your dog getting tonight? What are you getting tonight? Because I bet you, Henry Nichols, half the time you're going to be eating the dog's dinner. Fuck, you can't do anything about Henry Nichols half the time. He's just a crackhead, bro. He's a lovely bet to watch when he goes on this game, but he's a crackhead. And then we got Rutch and Ravardja who came in, who I don't mind getting another, but I think, like, okay, if we're looking for another all-rounder, Rutch and Ravardja doesn't look that strong. He needs some more time with Wellington, needs some more time to develop his game. He's young, he's 21, 22 years old, and he just needs to be given that time, because I think he's being rushed into the side of it. He didn't look strong against India, he didn't look strong against Bangladesh, and so he's been dropped. I was hoping he wouldn't be playing against South Africa, because Conway's back in, and de Grom was back in, so I think that kind of made New Zealand's decision for them, and they're like, okay, Rutchin, you're going to take a step back, you're going to be in the 15-17 man squad, but you're not going to be playing, and I think it's a good decision, and I feel that will help and develop by him just being there, being able to watch, see how they do stuff, see what they bowl, how they bat, how to play on these turfs. I think just giving him that time and experience is really fucking good for a young player like him. Now, my biggest bone to pick in the side is, why Hamish Rutherford? Why, if we need a fucking batsman, I can name your fucking 10 off the top of my head that are better. But I'm not going to name the team off the top of my head, because that doesn't fucking exactly work. But Cleave is one. Fucking Skellington's one. Fletcher, fucking Hay, Rannick, Bruce, Chu, Phillips, fucking Glenn Phillips, for Christ's sake. Fucking just anyone but fucking Hamish Rutherford. What is wrong with New Zealand bringing about a fucking washed up nobody who averaged 25 and 3 years of Test cricket and was fucking horrible? He was... Okay. Now, maybe we did fuck up by bringing him in early when he was young and playing him against some fucking good sides. Like, maybe that was our fault, but I don't think he did come in again. He came in 2013, we're now in 2022, so you go, it's almost 10 years ago. Okay, we did. We brought him in about 23, and I think we chucked him in the fucking deep end against, like, England and South Africa, and they were just too good for him. Tore him apart. He wasn't given the time, and, you know, it just wasn't good enough. He ended up averaging, like, fucking 2017 and 16 matches. I just want to have a look and see. But, yeah, no, that's what he was fucking averaging. But then you look at his first-class average, you're like, who is this man? You look at his first-class average, you're like, oh, so that's what New Zealand was wanting. Oh, like, even though his first-class average was 36.8, and he's, like, 10 New Zealanders better, they have a better average. Yeah, that's right. New Zealand are that desperate for a fucking opening batsman. I don't know why. I know he's doing well this season. I know he's getting runs in the Plunket Shield in New Zealand. But Gary Stead, how much of a fucking moron are you to not give someone else another fucking opportunity that scored runs, has a better average? Like, okay, Mark Chapman has a better average. He's averaging 82. Tom Bruce, 81.75. Fucking Will Somerville's averaging better than fucking Rutherford. He's averaging 74. Fuck me. Fucking Will Somerville is averaging better than Rutherford. Give Troy Johnson a shot. He's averaging 53. I'm Gary Stead, and I like to pick New Zealand sides of the fucking morons. Oh, I don't get it. I don't know how you fucking choose Hamish Rutherford is your fucking backup batsman when Kane Williams is out. Yeah, he must have been high, but so who should we go for? I've got the munchies. Oh, Rutherford, munchies, Hamish Rutherford. Oh, I love how that works, but I'll get the munchies when I watch the Togo Vaults because they make me tired. It's like, fuck me, bruv. How high would you have been to go, yes, we're going to select him? I don't get it. I don't know. And that brings me to another person I don't get how they picked. Blair fucking Tickner. Bro, the guy is average in first class is like 33. He has a first class average of 33. And you're like, pace? Yes. Wickets? No. Average? No. But pace. That man and his moustache. Oh, he's got the pedal stash. You remember Mitch Johnson and that fucking stash in like the 2015 World Cup? That's Blair Tickner's moustache. Just on a wider guy with brown hair. And taller. He's just got that lovely, you know, fucking pedo stash. He's got the pedo stash. I can tell you're fucking better bowlers than him, mate. Alright. Fucking Ben Sears. If you've never heard of Ben Sears, that's fair enough. He plays for Wellington Firebirds in New Zealand. He is a fucking class act. He bowls like 140. He can get up to 150. Now, I know he's young. He's like 21, maybe 22, 23. And he's fucking good, though. So why wouldn't you select Ben Sears, go, yep, we want you, you're young, you're feisty, we've got Blair Tickner, who's like fucking 30 now, we're looking at you, and we're like, yes, we want you. The other option is WSA Williamson. I don't know his full name, but he's quite young as well, if I remember correctly. He is young as fuck. Yeah, he is. Oh, no, never mind, he's not, he's 29, so he's not that young, but he is a good fucking first-class average, I'm pretty sure, for, like, his entire, like, life, for bowling-wise. Yeah, he is 22.1 first-class average. He's only played 37 matches, but he has a 22.1 first-class average. This boy didn't even, Blair Tickner got selected over a man that averages 22.1. What is New Zealand cricket thinking? This cunt averages 22.1. And Blair Tickner averages what you fucking call the fat fuck on a fucking Saturday Village cricket level. Oh, I can't bowl. I bowl speed, mate. I bowl speed. You know, I used to be quick, but I used to be averaging 33 in first class. And now he averages 50 on a Saturday. Fucking down in Village cricket where you play 40 overs instead of fucking 50 and you start at 1 o'clock and you're there to 8. That's what fucking Blair Tickner make me feel. It makes me feel like those fucking fuckers. You just want to slap in the face going, mate, this is not fucking first class cricket anymore. Shut the fuck up. We're playing Village cricket down the fucking Sunday and then we're going to go to the pub after. So shut the fuck up. That's what Blair Tickner makes me feel. And you know what? Who also? Nathan Smith, who's an all-rounder. It's got 21 wickets. He's 21 wickets and a fucking average of 16.29. Do you know who doesn't have an average? Who's not in the top 10 averages? Blair fucking Tickner. You know who's not in the top 10 economy rates? Blair Tickner. You know who's not in the best top ball percentages? Blair Tickner. But you know who is? Will Williams and Nathan fucking Smith. Even fucking Ravel has a better dot ball percentage. And he's a part-time spinner. He's the fucking one of the worst New Zealand openers. Who now plays in the Northern Districts. Part-time spinner. Has a better dot ball percentage than the man that just got selected for New Zealand for test match. If that man ever makes a test match field, I want to hang myself. I will want to die inside. Like, you got Randall, Rippon, Muller, fucking Shipley and Nussle. All fucking class act bowlers that should be over fucking. They should just be picked over Blair Tickner. I don't fucking get the selection. I just had to do this. I had to put the fucking hat on and rip apart Gary Stead and his fucking absolutely idiotic decisions for fucking test matches and ODI selections. He's a fucking moron. Gary Stead should be fucking fired. Our batting coach is Luke Gronke. Who's not even one of our best batsmen? You got Brendan McCullum out there, you got Stephen Fleming, you've got better fucking batsmen that were averaging 40 near the end of their career or throughout their entire career than this fuckhead who had a couple of good years and did fuck all. Luke Gronke, good keeper. Decent bat. Was enjoyable to watch. Thought he was going to be the next BJ and then fucking fell off a cliff. No wonder Australia fucking didn't choose him. That's right, he was a fucking Australian that came over to New Zealand. New Zealand, yeah. But Blair Tickner, what a fucking joke. Gary Stead, mate, go back to your shed, go smoke your weed, think over why you chose Blair Tickner and fucking Hamish Rutherford, because you are a fucking moron who needs to be fired. Needs to be castrated, fired, and chucked out the fucking door. Because it's a fucking joke how moronic you fucking are, bro. Now, the other three selections were, of course, Tim Salvey, Neil Wagner, and Will Young. Will Young, very good selector, very good selection. Fucking, he's a class act who's coming up to being a good opener, I think. And he's really good. So, overall, if I had to rate New Zealand selection, like, if I was to choose my selection, Tom Latham stays. Tom Blondell's in there. Devin Conway, Colm de Gromholm, Matt Henry, Kyle Jameson, Daryl Mitchell, Henry Nichols. I would drop out Rutch and Ravandra. I would bring in Nathan Smith. Drop out Hamish Rutherford. Bring in, like, Tom Bruce or probably Tom Bruce. Drop fucking Blair Tickner. And bring in, like, the likes of Will Williams or Ben Sears. Fuck me, that's a better side. I know you're missing out some of the top players, but fucking better side. Three changes, that's all you need to make to this team. Because our test team, in all fairness, is one of the best in the world. If not, if we win this SA, if we win the South Africa series, we will be number one again. We are technically number one by the test champion standards, but we're technically number two in rankings after Australia destroyed England. But, like, in all fairness, this is a fucking good test side. The only problem is it is a bit weak in the middle, and our tail isn't that strong at times. But it can be when they want to be. They can get runs. So I'm expecting this team to be strong, this team to bet well, and this team to fucking hopefully own it, Hadley Oval, against fucking South Africa. Now, this is a South African side who did just beat fucking a strong Indian side 3-0, back-to-back win. Sorry, 2-1. The last two test matches, back-to-back wins, 7-wicket wins. Now, that was because of one man and one man only, and his name is Keegan Peterson. And guess what, boys and girls? We're all fucking happy because Keegan Peterson has to miss out on the tour because of COVID-19. He got replaced by Zubis Hamza because unfortunately, he contracted COVID. So he's missing out, which sucks because I was actually really looking forward to seeing Keegan Peterson play after his performances against India. He's finding his feet. He's only played like 5 test matches, and he's averaging like upwards of 30, 5 or so. But yeah, he's been really good. He's doing very well, I think, and I think he would have been great, because he's up there in age, but he scored 276 runs in the 6 innings and average of 46 against India. Bro, that's fucking class, mate. That's fucking class. Now, I understand he was playing in South Africa. I don't care. That's fucking class. Like, that's great. I think Keegan Peterson would make a huge difference in the playing if he was able to play. But unfortunately, you know, he's not, and he has to sit out because of COVID. Like, fuck that, man. That's actually really, it's really shit that he has to miss out because of COVID. Like, I feel bad for the man, because I feel like he was a very integral part to this side, and you can't very much do it. And it's a big blow to South Africa, missing one of their best batsmen who's now coming into fucking form, and he was playing really well. Like, he's he's fucking classic, bro. I was watching some of the highlights and stuff, and he did so well, bro. He was doing so well, and I feel a bit bad for that. He's having to miss out. But you know what? Unlucky to the man. He played well, and unfortunately, you know, he tested positive for COVID-19. Couldn't come over to New Zealand. It's sad, but it is what it is. And there's times when you can't come when you got COVID, and this sucks. But, you know, he did his best. He unfortunately just had to contract it, and now he's missing out on the tour. and I must say that there is very surprising, because Anuj Nojet, I don't know how you pronounce it. He's missing out this tour as well. He missed out the Indian tour because of injury. But he's missing out this tour again. He's one of South Africa's, like, top pace bowlers, I think. Or I can't remember if he's a pace bowler or spinner, but he's a very good bowler and he's decent. Like Australia, like you gotta remember that South Africa retired. Quinton and Knock has finally retired. They lost him, a top tier wicketkeeper batsman. So you've got a feel for them. They're missing Keegan Pedersen, they're missing like Quinton and Knock. Fast Super C dropped out a while ago. And they had to bring in a couple of different players. Carl Varane, I think, came in for him. So they brought like a 17-man squad over. So they brought Dean Algo, who was doing all right against the Indians in the last two games. Tabo Bavuma, Sarat Iwi, Marco Hansen, man. 21-year-old fucking savage bowler who's averaging like fucking 16 or 17. Bro, against India, 3 matches for 19 wickets. This boy is 21 years of age. What the f- I'm 21. And this fuck is making me look like fucking like what I am. A lazy shit sitting in his fucking room doing a podcast. And this cunt's out there playing for South fucking Africa, averaging fucking 19, taking fucking 19, or averaging like 16, sorry, taking 19 fucking wickets against one of the best fucking test team in the world. Bruv, kill me now, fucking Jesus Christ. He's I've watched a couple of them, and bruv, he is, oh, he's tall, he's lanky, needs to put on some fucking muscle, but besides that, bro, he's gonna be a handful against New Zealand. Simon Hamner, I think he's a 32-year-old, he's finally getting a return. Kashavish Majaraja, I don't know much about. I think he's their spinner, they bring over their spinner just in case. Aidan Markram, really not on form. I think they've brought him over just in case, to see if he'll find his form. Wenyen Mulder, I don't know who he is, really. I think he's new. Lungi Ngidi averages 20.9. I was having a look, sorry, like, when I was playing Australia, I was having a look at the South African, bowlers' averages. And they're fucking good averages. Like, everyone's averaging under, I think, like, 23. Ngidi's averaging 20.9. Dwayne Oliver, the next bowler, is averaging like 22. Fucking Keegan Pedersen, who is now actually not on the squad, it got dropped out, so I think they had to bring, I can't remember who they brought in to replace them. Rabadab was averaging like 21 or 22. Fuck, man, that side makes me just, man, that bowling attack just makes me like, whoa, I'm like, what the fuck? Bro, I'm like, our bowling attack's good, Australia's bowling attack's good. They're all averaging 20 to 23. What the fuck? Now, I know Jansen's new. Ngidi's not that old. He's been playing for that long. I think like 13 or so matches. I think 47 wickets under his belt when I last looked. So, yeah, he's a good bowler. Fucking, like, class. And I think hopefully he'll, be able to help South Africa get their shit together. Put a good test against New Zealand. They also have another guy, Ryan Rickerton. Rickleton, Lufa Simpalama, Gilton Sturman, I think's. Sturman, I heard a bit, I read a bit and saw some things about him. He's a first new guy. Yeah, first test he's ever going to be playing. Rusty van der Dusten, who, best ODI batsman I've ever watched. Best ODI batsman. Now, what do I think about him when it comes to test match? He looks like a fucking child playing a man's game. He is not good. He is so really just not good. It's not good for him. It's not good for him. He needs to sit back, go, hey guys, I'm not good at test matches. I'm sorry, just keep me in the ODI side. Maybe he's just doing it because he wants to play some more cricket, but which makes sense. But Rusty van der Dusten, mate, his average is like 30 compared to a 70 average in fucking ODI, man. Yeah, I think, I don't know, he might come right against New Zealand, be able to finally, get his shit together and score some runs. But, I don't know, we'll have to wait and see. And then Carl Varane was the guy that's come in for Quinton and Knock. He's the replacement keeper. He hasn't played too much. I think it was like 5 matches, an average of 18, so don't know how he's actually going to do. He averaged very good in first class, but we'll have to see how it transforms over to the international game, because he's not looking too great, off the bat for international, but you can't judge a book by its cover. You can't judge a book by its cover. You have to wait and see, and hopefully, you know, he proves me wrong, and he does do well, because, you know, I'm willing to be proven wrong if it's done right, and if it's done wrong, I'm just gonna be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But, you know, can't do much about it. He's the keeper now for South Africa over Quinton de Knock, which is a bit sad. I miss Quinton de Knock. I wish he came over and retired after this tour and not the past. He's probably sitting at home, maybe regretting not coming over to New Zealand with how sometimes we play. But yeah, it's a bit annoying, a bit sad that that's the case. But I'm hoping South Africa put a good fucking fight and they fight fucking hard. Now, I think this is going to be the last thing I'm going to talk about on this podcast today. I don't know how long it's run, unfortunately. But I'm going to talk about, and I've got to talk about this. Well, actually, I'm going to talk about this one thing. This is going to be the tour beforehand. I'm going to tell you, right? 2-0 New Zealand. Or 1-0, depending if we draw the last game. But I'm going to say 2-0 New Zealand. I think New Zealand's bowling attack with Matt Henry. If he hits a stride, especially on his home ground, we're going to win. I'll say 2-0 Matt Henry. Let's fucking go. Nah, 2-0 New Zealand. I think against South Africa, I think it'll be very tough matches. I'm hoping it will be. It might be a bit tough if South Africa did bet first on Hagley, because Hagley is a bowling pitch. But yeah, I'm hoping for some class act playing, bro. Some class act games. But yeah, no. But yeah, I rate New Zealand on this thing. So I'm going to say fucking some class act masterclasses by like fucking... I'm going to tell you this now. Nichols is just going to prove me wrong. Nichols is going to shit my face and go, I told you I could bet, brother. But yeah, no, we've got to talk about this situation. I can't not. And, fucking Justin Langer. Now, if you hadn't heard, Justin Langer basically got fucking kicked out the fucking door, thrown spit in his face, and told to fuck off. He got a 6-month extension for contract, and he basically said, yeah, fuck off, you fucking piece of shit. I know you're only doing this to keep me on your good books, and that's not really what you guys want or the players want. The players, man, were just... they betrayed him hard, bro. The players betrayed him hard. Here's what I mean by they betrayed him hard. New articles have come out that Pat Cummings, in the back of a fucking pub, was talking with McDonald, who is now the interim coach, about who they should fucking replace Langer with. That's right, you heard it. In the back of a fucking pub in Hobart, they were discussing in public who they should replace as coach. How dumb are you, Cummings? Don't fucking come out the article saying, you know, no, we're all ending this in Ackerman terms. You know, I didn't, you know, there's nothing wrong with his decision. Bullshit, motherfucker. You wanted him out. The players wanted him out. You pieces of shit chucked him out the fucking door. Don't give me the shit. Oh, it's not our fault. Yes, it is. Grab some backbone. Learn how to fucking play. Get your shit together, you pieces of fucking shit. Disappointed. Disappointed in Pat Cummings. Disappointed in the Australia Cricket Board. I don't know how you're doing this to Justin Langer, who's just won you a fucking T20 World Cup and a fucking final Ashes series. I know the England's team was shit. I understand it. But he still did it. He still fucking carried your asses all the way there. And you're saying it's too hard on you. Because we want to bat relax, Langer. We want to go out there, clear mindset, just bat relax. I know you're a fighter, Langer. I know you're a fighter. I know you like to go in there and fucking punch some holes in the motherfuckers, but we like to relax on a beach, you know? This is the sunny's on, and just go, oh yeah, we like to relax, baby. Oh. By the way, I'm just doing a impersonation of Travis Head. Is it Head? No. Tim Payne, sorry. Tim Payne talking to Langer. It's gonna relax, Langer. It's gonna relax on the beach, you know? Like this, you know? Gotta relax, Langer. Gotta relax on the beach, man. We wanna go back out there and relax. And Langer's like, what the fuck you on about, boys? Nah. Gotta go out there and fight, you know? Gotta be aggressive. Gotta be intense. Nah, they just wanna take a sip in their pina coladas, taking it easy out there, batting 50 fucking balls to get a single run. But Langer's like, you piece of shit, that's not how you play Test cricket, that's how you play a fucking Sunday mixer. Yeah, I know, fucking, oh god, I'm just like, no, the best thing that came out of fucking Australia was, Lava Shane's no run. That's the best thing that's ever come out of Australia, besides Mike Hussey. Yes, I know. I'm New Zealander, and my favourite best was Mike Hussey. I know. You can judge me, but my favourite best was Mike Hussey. I don't care. I just have to question why you're firing your coach right before a series. Okay, firing your coach. Not exactly firing, but you know what I mean. He's basically been forced to resign because the players didn't want him there. The fucking association didn't want him there. And he's just had to walk out the door. Now, this isn't to say that he's now got fucking job offers coming out the fucking wazoo. England job, Sri Lankan job. Like, bruv, if I was you, take the Sri Lankan job. But, like, he's got fucking newscaster jobs, everything coming out of the wazoo. It's just, you can't help it. He's fucking just got it all going for him. The man is a fucking top-notch bloke with all the shits going around. Now, Justin Langer, fucking class batsman, top of the order batsman for Australia. Absolutely fucking legendary, man. Very, very good player. And I feel that's a bit sad that they've just had to chuck him out the door because they're just remotely fucking dumbasses and want to absolutely destroy everything they've ever made. And that's Australia for you. That's Australia for you. They don't like to stick around with one coach. They like to stick around and jump from one coach to the next, to one coach to the next, to next. That's Australia Cricket Board having a spasm. But yeah, I know. Fuck, bro. I can't deal with it. It's just so fucking stupid. Like, okay, here we go. Cricket Australia Board in one hand, Gary Steyn the other. Which one's dumber than the other? Too close to call. But I've got to give it to the Association of Australia. Cricket Australia are worse than Gary Steyn, even though Gary Steyn fucking chooses a washed up fucking 32-year-old and a man with a pedo stash. Cricket Australia just decided to get rid of their best coach and are like, hold up, not our fault. He was too intense. And I'm just like, at least they'll know pedo stash. Bruv. Oh, man. It's just an absolutely joke fest over in Australia for all that's happening, man. I can't take it seriously. They've now got O'Donnell and as their interim. They've started this series strong with a first easy dub against Sri Lanka in the first game. You can't do much about them. They're playing strong. They've hit strong. Hazelwood's come back after his injury against England, and he's picked up 4 wickets in the first game against Sri Lanka. I think Sri Lanka have like one good batsman, like names Nasaka, Nasakata or something like that. He looks fucking good. Classic, man. I think he's young as well. So I think he's cut one and up and coming, but I think Australia's going to take out the series fucking easily. And yeah, it's just, I don't get it. You fire your coach, you bring an interim on, and Finchie loves him, wants him as actual coach. He said that fucking Langer's getting all the job offers in the world, but Cricket Australia are looking like the dumbest asses in the world, especially when England, the man Australia's just wrecked, want them as his coach. They want Justin Langer. This is by the fans, by the way. The fans are like, yeah, we want him. The fans are like, yeah, we want him. The board are like, maybe. But the fans are like, nah. Bring in the man that fucked us up the arsehole, dismantled our entire team, and made us look like a bunch of fucking sixth graders who were learning how to play cricket for the first fucking time. Maybe besides Bairstow got the 100, maybe he looked like he actually knew how to hold a bat, but the rest of them looked like were fucking twigs or twats and fucking wankers not know how to play cricket for the first fucking time in Australia. So he's like, welcome to the Down Under. This is the Ashes program. This is where we show you how to play cricket. And then he's like, thank you. We'll take it up the arsehole now. England took up the arsehole, loved it, and it ended that way. But hey, what's better than taking up the arsehole than the pedo stash from Blair Tickner? Alright, that's the... Alright, there's not much else to talk to. Hopefully next week there'll be more to talk to, I know. Bit short episode this time, but you know what? It's getting up there. There's not much to talk to. There wasn't much to happen this week, unfortunately, besides the Justin Langer situation, New Zealand selection, and Aussie versus New Zealand tour getting selected next week. We'll probably talk more about we'll talk about fucking the Test match series of New Zealand versus South Africa. West Indies are playing a series, ODIs and T20 against West Indies and India. Sri Lanka's playing Aussie, like I mentioned before, and then there's qualifiers for the T20 World Cup. So that's all that's coming up now. Hopefully next week I'll be able to cover. But yeah, no, that fucking ended on the way of Peter. I got you thinking, okay? I want you to tell me if you can message the Sunday Cricketer at gmail.com. No, like, full stops between the Sunday Cricketer, just one word, the Sunday Cricketer at gmail.com. Message below. What do you think is, email me, what do you think is worse? Fucking Blair Tickner's pedo stash, Hamish Rutherford, the dried up 30-year-old 25 average man, Cricket Australia's fuck up on Justin Langer, Gary Stead, the joke of a coach, or England getting up the fucked up the ass by the Australian cricket team and bending over and wanting it and basically going, teach us how to fucking play, please, please, this academy for fucking jokes. Please do email and tell me which is worse. I hope you enjoyed this episode. This has been your host. This has been your man, Joshua Quaid. I thank you all for listening. This has been a Sunday Cricket.